Hello and welcome to episode 251 of the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show, The Retro Asylum. It's Chris here, joined, as usual, by my good friend and partner in crime, Mads. How's it going, mate?
Fine, mate. How about you?
Yeah, good, thanks. So we're here, back, to announce another round of theme ideas for the month of June for the Game Club.
Indeed.
We've had a good time, some of us, playing Theme Hospital so far in May, haven't we, Mads?
Yes, I'm sure some of us has.
I think we should try and probably avoid Theme Hospital chat on this one, otherwise this might turn into the Theme Hospital episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've reached out once again to our Discord community and asked for some theme ideas, because it worked really well, we thought, in May. We had a really positive response, and some of the theme ideas were excellent. So we thought we'd start again, really, and go out to them again, our Discord community, and ask for a fresh round of theme ideas. And once again, we've had a pretty good response, haven't we?
Oh, it's been excellent. We've got so many good themes to choose from here. It's going to be hard to whittle this list down.
Yeah. So in a moment, we're going to run through each of the ideas, giving them all a shout out, even Heavy Metal Don's idea, which was one of my personal favourites. And and then we are going to select a couple each. Those four will then go out to a public vote, which we'll announce on Twitter and Discord in the usual way. And then Mads and I will totally indulge ourselves from the winner of that vote and choose the game.
Yeah.
Good, eh? So have you been in the meantime? Been up to anything interesting?
Yeah, before we get into that, I'm actually a bit nervous about this, Chris, because we did this last month, and I mean, everything just went wrong from there on. So you sure you want to be doing this?
Well, is that because we chose one of the most critically acclaimed and best performing PC titles of the 1990s?
No, it's because somebody kind of talked me into choosing something that was really... Oh, well, let's not get into that here. That'll be for next week when we record the Theme Hospital episode of this wonderful, wonderful game.
I don't want to create hype for that episode, but I think it could be one of the most combustible episodes of Retro Asylum ever.
Just consider the fact that we could have been playing Dungeon Keeper 2 or Syndicate, but enough about that. Let's pick some themes here. But what have I been up to? Retro gaming-wise, I've been playing Benefactor the last couple of days, actually.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that game?
Yeah, CD32 game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the regular Amigas as well, I'm sure. I've been playing it on the CD32, actually. It's a brilliant game. I love my puzzle platformers, and this is just a perfect little puzzle platformer. So had a lot of fun playing that, because I'm writing a review of it for Amiga Addict for issue 6. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm. I've got it, actually. I've actually got the original.
Yeah, really?
I'm pretty sure I have. Mm. Yeah, I think when... oh, crikey, I've forgotten who it was. I'm sorry. One of our Discord listeners gave me a CD32 at the start of last year. And I'm pretty sure that Benefactor was one of the games that came with it.
That's a true gem. You need to dive into that. It's a game that works so well still today because, I mean, puzzle platformers, if they're done right, they are timeless, aren't they?
So yeah, they really are.
It's really a great game too. And actually, because of the very small sprites, so the way it's not quite as small as like Lemmings or stuff like that, but it's getting there. So you see a lot of the levels at the same time, so it works really well playing it on the couch on a huge TV these days. So emulating it and playing it in the living room is definitely something I'd suggest as well.
And how does it control on the pad?
Brilliantly. It uses pretty much... It's perhaps the only game from my memory right now that uses all of the buttons on the CD32 pad.
Okay.
So, yeah. It controls really well. It's a great puzzle platformer. It's by Swedish developer DICE. So, these guys that back in the day, I only knew as the pinball guys, doing pinball dreams and fantasies and illusions, right? But these days, they're probably better known for Battlefield. Some of that,
unfortunately, some would say.
Yeah. But I've been playing that, and other than that, I've been playing The Last of Us for playthrough, loving that as well. And
yeah,
looking forward to recording very soon the first part of that playthrough.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, me too. I mean, that's really... I'm normally a kind of... I do spread myself around a little bit in terms of playing stuff, but in the last 2 weeks, I would say, I've been playing exclusively The Last of Us and Theme Hospital. Mm. And I've been I've been loving life. I've not really felt the urge to play anything else. The only thing I have dabbled with, and I haven't really kind of spent loads of time with it yet, Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
Which is, we finally reached Super Mario 3D World in our Super Mario community playthrough, which has been going on now for 16 months.
So Spree World would be the Wii U title, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Beauty. That's a beauty. You need to experience that with the kids. I played all the way through that with all three kids. It's great fun.
Yeah. How did you do the harder levels, though, with four players playing at once? I mean, I'm playing it with my daughter, my eight-year-old daughter. Mm. We've managed to get through to World 4, but she very quickly taps out on some of the trickier levels because it's hard. There's some levels that are really difficult, especially if you're going for the stars. How was it playing with four players?
So I'm pretty good at Mario, and my oldest daughter is really, really good at Mario. So when you have two players that actually know what they're doing, it doesn't really matter if the other two don't, because they'll fall off. And you know, if you try playing it in multiplayer, you know that there's this rubber band like effect. The players can like pull the screen one way or the other. So if two players know where they're going and doing the right thing, it'll work in the end anyway. But of course, there'll be some deaths that could have been avoided.
Yeah. But it's all right, though, isn't it? Because you get a game over and the lives are, like in modern Mario platformers before, they got to Odyssey where they abandoned the lives, thankfully. Yeah. The game over screen is completely meaningless because it just throws you back in with another five lives exactly where you died.
Yeah, exactly. But it's great fun in multiplayer. I actually, it's one of the games I need to try going through in single player as well, because it is a completely different experience. So I need to do that at some point. But it's a brilliant Mario game in my book.
Yeah, it's an absolute beauty. I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous on that Wii U. I mean, I know the Switch has came along and usurped the Wii U, but what an underappreciated machine that really was, for many, many reasons why. We could devote hours to talking about why it didn't really work. But all the games I've played on it, they're great. You know, they look great, played really well. You know, it's hard sometimes to think why it just didn't do better.
Yeah, I've said this many times on the show, but for me, that was the best console of that generation, personally, because I had the best gaming experiences there, mainly in four-player mode with the kids, be it Rayman Legends or the Mario games or whatever. We played a lot of great games on the Wii U.
Yeah. We are reaching the end of our community playthrough now. I mean, Super Mario 3D World, and then there's a couple of Super Mario Maker titles, which we'll have a look at, but I think unless you're there at the time, with those, it's difficult really to get the most out of them. There's the mobile title, Super Mario Run, which I'm determined to actually spend a bit of time with. I mean, it is a mobile title with all its bad points. but it is a game that you can just pay once and then play through the levels. And then it's Odyssey. And then hopefully by that time, I suspect the Switch Pro will have been announced, and maybe the next Mario game. It's been a few years now since Odyssey came out.
Yeah, but there's still no official news about any new Switch, is there? I mean, lots and lots of rumours.
It's the worst kept secret in the world, isn't it? Every week, there's some company announces its next financial year's sort of projections. Companies in the supply chain, you know, who are making the screens for it, and there is a big line in there about, oh, we're making the screen for the Switch Pro. Nintendo really do need to get out ahead of this, I think. I suspect in the conference season around what would have been E3 next month, wouldn't surprise me if something was announced then.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, let's wait and see. Right, so we'll get into some news next week on the Theme Hospital episode, because there's been a few bits and pieces going on in the retro world. But for now, mate, shall we get into running through these theme ideas?
Yes, but before we do that, I'm just going to go kill my cat because she's very noisy. Give me a sec. Meow! So we're back. Hopefully the cat will be quiet now. Let's get into those themes. We've had like 15, 16 suggestions, some really, really good ones. So this is going to be a tough one to eliminate stuff from. But let's start by just going through the list. In reverse order, we've added them in reverse order. I don't know why, listeners, Chris did that, but it's in our document here in reverse order. So the last theme we got was Boulder Dash Games. It was Rax1981 who gave us that suggestion. So he says that his fave is the C64 version. Simple, addictive, frustrating, and nobody ever mentions them, he says. We've talked about Boulder Dash before. A lot of love for the Boulder Dash and the 8-bit platforms. I love Boulder Dash myself, and I love the C64 version. And a theme like this, you could cover, I mean, there are lots and lots of platforms to cover Boulder Dash on. There are multiple Boulder Dash games, but there are some good clones as well.
Exactly.
What was the one?
Yeah, in fact, some Emerald of the clones Mines, are better.
One of the big ones is Emerald Mines, I think. So
there was a series of them on the C64, wasn't it? Was that Emerald Mines?
Could have been.
I think some of the clones are actually, from what I've read, I'm not sure I agree that nobody talks about them, because I think Retro Game has covered the Boulder Dash series about 5 times over its run so far.
It's a very popular series.
Yeah, and I, actually, from what I've read, some of the clones are actually better than the original game, and they've, you know, even things like Repton, you know, built on, took what Boulder Dash did and just did something slightly different. So, yeah, I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, if we expanded it to... Yeah, if we had the choice of either Boulder Dash or Boulder Dash clones, I'm sure we could come up with something pretty cool there and give people the chance to look around all the Boulder Dash games.
Yeah, I do love Boulder Dash, so that'd be good.
Yeah.
So you want to take the next one, mate?
Yeah, I like this one. So Turbo Toaster, one of our new members in the Discord channel, welcome, mate, and thank you for your suggestion, has suggested food brand tie-ins. Wowzers. We could play Theme Hospital again with that. You do realise that?
Why?
Kit Kat?
Ah, well, it's not really a complete tie-in, is it? It's not called Kit Kat Hospital.
It could be.
It could be. But there's no way in hell I'm playing Theme Hospital again. On the other hand, though, we could be playing a lot of really, really great McDonald's-themed games. I mean, Data East and Treasure did some beautiful 8 and 16-bit games for McDonald's.
Yeah, for sure.
We got MC Kits and McDonald's Treasureland Adventure, the very early one just called Donaldland, I think, from Data East. Yeah, there are some good games there. There's Cool Spot as well. I loved that on the Amiga back in the day.
Yeah, the 7-Up. 7-Up tie-in.
And of course, there's Matt's favorite game, but the less mentioned about that, the better, right? No Chupa Chups games here.
No Zool?
No Zool.
No Action Biker? Clumsy Colin?
Oh, yeah, of course. We could be playing Action Biker all week.
Steve's favorite games covered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Great one. And the next one is really good as well. It's going to be a bit tough for us to figure out what we put on that list, though. But the Heavy Metal Don wrote that he would like a theme called Games Donnie Likes.
Very good. And I'm sure Donnie likes some very good games, but we have absolutely no idea what games he likes.
Yep.
So, very good, mate. If everyone just wrote games I liked, this would go really well.
Yeah.
Right, next one. PhoenixZ80, who ran a very good, and I'm very sorry I missed out, but from what I've heard, there was a quiz, which we'll talk a little bit more about next week.
It was excellent.
And get some hype. So thank you, mate, for organising that, and I'm sorry I couldn't make it. He said, and I quite like this one, games mentioned in the Ready Player One book. Now, we won't list all of those games, but Blake did also go to the effort of listing them all in our Discord channel. So if you are a Discord member and you've not seen it, head over and have a look. It's in the podcast episodes channel.
So
there's about 50.
So if you've read the book, you probably have, haven't you?
I've seen the film. I've not read the book.
Oh, you need... I only saw like the first 10-15 minutes of the film, and they've changed so much from the book, so I just turned it off. You need to read the book.
I do need to get it.
Good read for a nerd that likes the computer games. It's not great literature in any way, but there's lots of references to that are fun to pick up on. But there's some really great games, and of course, if you've read the book, Joust would be the most important game, I guess. But I'm just looking at a Wikipedia page here that says we've got games like Contra and Golden Axe and Ikari Warriors and Smash TV to choose from as well. And, of course, Sork and Joust and Centipede and some of the old stuff as well, Combat. So, that of course, lots and lots of good games to choose from there.
Yeah, there's rich pickings that, isn't there? We could have a good time working our way through that list and choosing a game.
Yeah, indeed.
Nice.
Okay, so Monster Hide is the next theme here. He says, seeing as June will be the start of summer, or a slightly less rainy period in the UK, what about summer as a theme? And that'd be good as well. I mean, we've got all the summer games and summer Olympics and all the Olympics games, really. Wouldn't those be summer themed, most of them?
Yeah, definitely. And I was thinking about this, and I think you could probably widen it to say games that remind us of summertime.
Mm.
You know, you've already mentioned Cool Spot, but Cool Spot is one I'd throw in there just because the character wears shades and I think there's a beach level, isn't there, in that game?
Yeah, you start at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So I think it could work quite well. I think if we made it a little bit subjective for games that remind us of summer, rather than games which in themselves have a summer theme, I think we could end up with a pretty decent list there.
Yeah, we're good.
Quite like it. Right, moving on. Cuthbert 32. Last commercial releases on different systems, not including later homebrew. So the way I interpreted this was commercial releases after, and I think this actually comes up again, commercial releases after, in the kind of dying embers of the commercial releases of certain platforms. So I was thinking, because 8-bits after 1990 onwards, and probably 16-bits 1996 onwards, I think it probably are eras which weren't really explored in the magazines of the time because people have moved on. And I think actually that could be quite interesting.
Yeah, it ties in nicely with another theme that we'll see later on.
Yeah,
I was just like reading this as the very last release on the different systems. So maybe that would be hard to track down what the actual last release on the different platforms was.
He could have meant it like that, but that would be difficult, I think, to nail down the last release on a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
So Retro Rich 1884. He would like to play some Sid Meier games. He writes that he loved Civ 2, never really played anything else, so he would be intrigued by having a look at his catalog. And man, there are some great games done by Sid Meier. I mean, Civilization, of course, is the first game I guess most people think of when they think Sid Meier, or maybe Pirates. But Civilization, Pirates, Railroad, Tycoon. What else? Alpha Centauri.
Yeah,
lots and lots of good games too, and even some of the flight games if you wanted to, because of course he did do some of those as well.
Yeah, it's a good idea. My only reservation is we've just had, or what we are in the midst of a month where we've got a sim type game.
Yeah,
maybe it's just more of the similar. Which, you know, if this was coming after an arcade game, I'd probably be very excited and well up for Sid Meier.
Mm.
I just wonder whether it might be too much of the same, but we'll see.
But you have actually never really played Civilization, have you?
No.
Well, that's a huge gap in your gaming history there. We need to fix that at some point.
We do. Mm. I do worry about the rabbit hole it could lead me down, though.
It's good
might
fun.
Might be goodbye life.
Mm.
Next up, Not Minor Willy said Shinobi games. Now this has got my imagination going, because there are many, many great Shinobi games that came out on the various platforms. If you start with the arcade original, there's massively accoladed ports and sequels on the Mega Drive, for instance.
Mm.
Some great conversions and ports on the Master System. So I think we could have a really good time looking at the Shinobi series, really, and then just picking one game just to focus on.
Yeah, in my mind, Shinobi was always just a trilogy. Shinobi, Shadow Dancer, and The Revenge of Shinobi. They're all from the late 80s. But looking at Wikipedia, there are lots and lots of Shinobi games. There are like 10, 11, I think. So 12, actually.
And
so,
I think, is it Shinobi 3 on the Mega Drive, which is often talked about as being the best Mega Drive game?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's so the one called Return of the Ninja Master. Okay. Don't think I've ever played any of the later Shinobi games, so yeah, would be good fun to have a look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Namco has a suggestion that was pretty much like what Cuthbert 32 suggested. It's post-peak commercial games for consoles or computers. So
Yeah,
I'm reading that as the same thing as that you described, that after the peak period of that platform, after a new platform had taken over, still some games would be released there. And having a look at that part of the catalog, because maybe that part of a console or computer's catalog has been overlooked because people have moved on.
Yeah, I think that's it. Mm. And also, it gives us an excuse to dive into some of the really late era magazines, you know, in a system's life. Mm. I was looking at, I think one of the later issues of, I think it might have been Amiga Action. I think Paul Monahan had mentioned it on Facebook, and it made me kind of check it out on archive.org. It was like 16 pages long. and the magazine was sold on shelves, you know, at normal price. But by that time, they had so little to cover. It literally was about 16 pages,
okay.
A couple of reviews and some flashbacks, and that was it.
Crazy.
So it is always the dying embers of platforms' lives, always. And then you look at the PS2, man, they were still releasing PS2 games in about, was it kind of early 2010s? You know, which is just absolutely staggering. You know, this is way, way after the PS3 came out. There's still, okay, a lot of them were just the perennial sports games.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were still commercially producing PS2 games 10 years after it came out is just, I think, just incredible.
Mm.
Very interesting. Yeah. Anyway, next. Max Zero suggests games that deliver different experiences on different platforms.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I was wondering whether he means, like, games that are completely different games, same name, but completely different games, just some kind of license that has been bought up, and then you have a Batman game that is one game on the C64 and a completely different game on the Speccy, for example.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the way I took it. That was the example that came to my mind was Aladdin. You know, different versions on the SNES and Mega Drive. Interesting though. I mean, different experiences suggest he might be talking about, you know, games that. Same name, but completely different. I don't know. I mean, maybe with a theme like that, we might need a couple of examples. It's an interesting topic, though. Maybe one that would make for a really interesting episode idea rather than a game club theme, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah. So for a game club theme, we'd need to be playing at least two games then to compare them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's what I mean. That's why I think it might work better as a general episode discussion where we can look at a few games like that.
And we've got King Kong Gruber. He has the abominable choice here of Euro platformers.
Love this.
Euro platformers, of course, lots of games there that you and I have been playing when we were young. I think most people agree that, the Japanese did it a lot better. So if we are looking at platformers from the 80s and 90s, the likes of Super Frog really isn't that great anymore. But I loved them back in the day. So I'd spend a month with Super Frog. I haven't really played that in years, so... Stuff like that would be okay with me.
Yeah, I love this because I think it absolutely terrifies our North American listeners.
Yes. Platformers that they have to control with a stick and one button and up for jump.
Bring back. I've always said to bring back up to jump. I've always said it.
You're wrong, mate.
We don't need two buttons. Roushi immediately replied on Discord to say, no, please, no.
Yeah, well, that could be good fun. There are actually some really great games there. So even working with the limitations of having just one button and up to jump, they did some great stuff.
I think we'd have to exclude puzzle platformers because I do hear what people say, and I think, you know, if you compare the Super Mario Bros. with even Super Frog, which came out later, you know, there's no real comparison. Mm. But I think where the Europeans did excel, particularly in Northern Europe, was the puzzle platformers, you know, the Benefactors, as you mentioned. Mm. And we looked at that one when we did that Amiga magazine thing. What was that game you looked at there, Mads? That was it Trottlers?
Yeah, Trottlers, but that's much more of a puzzler than a platformer, really.
Exactly. Mm. So I think we'd have to exclude... Yeah, that probably is a pure puzzle game, actually, isn't it? But we would have to exclude puzzle platformers because then I would probably take issue with anyone who said the Europeans didn't do those well because I think they did.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, good shout. One that, could get quite controversial, like it. Next one, Chris Silver, and this is one that we've talked about before, Mads, haven't we, doing this as a game club theme, but it whenever we do mention this, we always end up playing Dark Forces the month before, and therefore we don't want to have two likely FPS games in a row. So this is games by id Software, which isn't obviously exclusively FPS games, but they're best known for their FPSs. It is definitely one which we've almost had this a couple of times in the past.
I'd actually even consider going further back in time and then doing stuff like Commander Keen and Dangerous Dave and the pre Wolfenstein stuff, because they've got a lot of interesting stuff there as well.
Yeah, they have. Mm. Yeah, I think probably once they settled on their, once they had the big success with Wolfenstein, and then Doom, they didn't really ever go back to any other genre, did they?
You could even play the earlier Wolfenstein before Wolfenstein 3D.
No, so that was what, the really original one? Was it Mu Software who did that?
I forget.
Yeah, but the Apple II game?
Mm.
Wolfenstein? No, I haven't, but I'm just about to get there in Jimmy Marr's blog. So no doubt I'll be checking it out soon.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jimmy Marr's amazing blog, The Digital Antiquarian. Id Software, interesting.
Yep.
It's certainly one that's been at the forefront of our minds. So good shout, Chris Silver.
Yeah. And we have Patrick from the Retrospectives podcast. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We're somebody we know guested there very recently.
Yeah. Mm. I'll talk more about that next week.
Yep. And he suggests something that's right up my alley, 90s RTS games.
So we have had this, though, before.
Yeah, we played Command & Conquer. We did. There are so many other good games there. So we could easily make a list of four or five to pick something from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and you haven't played StarCraft.
No. And you're a massive fan of Warcraft 2, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I know he's a huge fan of Warcraft 3, Patrick.
Mm, it's really good.
So I suspect that's where he's coming from. But yeah, that's such a rich genre of games to pick from that I'm sure we could come up with something great for that one. So yeah, good shout, Pat. Thank you very much. Next, Rage Nugetto 7, one of my favourite names on our Discord, Rage Nugetto. Bullet hell shoot 'em ups, so oh god.
Oh yeah, we've been there before a few times.
We have, so we've had Dodonpachi and we've had Ikaruga, if you can count that as a bullet hell, I think you probably can. Look, there's obviously many, many, many more games in that sort of niche, in that subgenre of shoot 'em up, which we could choose from. I'd have to get my big boy pants on and go into that one again and be brave and say, come on, you can do it.
And we need to get back to bullet hell shooters at some point, just because I love playing them so much. And the high score challenge is always great fun when you do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, good one.
Yep. Dark Whalebone says simply handheld games. So that's maybe a bit too wide of a theme to pick something from. But there are lots of good handheld games, of course. And unless he means, that'd be hard to do, the really old, like, electronic handheld games.
It's the Tiger Electronic stuff? Mm. Yeah, I mean, there'd only be we might get two people playing along who managed to track one down. Assuming he does mean video games, like in the video games, in the sense that we know, that is very wide. I mean, I love handheld games. I love my Game Boy. I especially love the Game Boy Advance, and I think we could do something really cool if we did narrow it down. Such a wise genre. I mean, we struggle to know where to start, and Dina would be lobbying for an Atari Lynx game, of course, and it would all get very it'll get very heated, I suspect. But good shout. Thanks, Dark Whalebone, another new member of our Discord group. So maybe for next month, July is our listener's choice, where we do hand over completely the reins of the game choice to our listeners. More on that on Discord coming up. And then August, September traditionally is we choose to play an RPG over the summer. And Mads and I have a month off in August. But we'll see. I mean, this seems to be going well, so I think we'll probably carry on handing over the reins to you guys on the themes. So maybe have a think for October about how we can narrow that down a little bit. Right, where were we? John V, Magnetic Scrolls Adventure Games. It feels like only a matter of time before we have a text adventure match in the game club, doesn't it?
Mm.
It feels imminent. Magnetic Scrolls Adventure Games have just been or some of them have just been remastered and re-released on the Spectrum Next.
Yeah,
which is perhaps where John V got his idea for. So that would be a beautiful way to experience some of these games with the new graphics that have been done for the Specky Next. Mm. So
which ones were redone? The Pawn and Myth? Or
Jinxter,
okay.
Pawn. I'm struggling with the third.
Okay.
I know Jinxter because I did play a little bit of that when they were released. That was the one I immediately installed. I know the Pawn because that's their first one. I don't know. I can't remember the other one.
Okay.
There's definitely been three of them.
Yep.
There may have even been more by now.
Mm. Yeah. Good choice. Goal-scoring Superstar Hero has a long theme here. It's called retro games that have had a modern-day reboot, like Doom 2016 and Tomb Raider and GTA and Hitman and so on and so forth. So he suggested we could play the original game and maybe compare it to the modern revamp. So, yeah, that'd be good fun as well. Lots of good titles to choose from there. And I like the idea of comparing it to, I mean, playing two games and comparing them a bit.
Yeah, I really like that idea as well. And, you know, you and I both like our modern games as well. So it will give us an excuse. I mean, things like Hitman's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I'd love to, I mean, though, that new Hitman game, Hitman 3, I mean, that looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new ones at all. I heard that the first
screenshots.
But are they straight up remakes of the originals or?
No. Okay. So this is the thing. So Hitman.
Is it reboot instead or?
That's like a continuation of the series almost, because Hitman's never really had a period where there haven't been any Hitman games. I mean, the original only came out in 2000 or so.
Yeah, sounds right.
So it's kind of just carried on, although I think they did reset the number in because it all, we had kind of contracts and blood money and all those, that line. And then they restarted the number in. They did do a reboot and just called it Hitman. Mm. And now we're at the end of that trilogy. I think this is a great idea. I suppose my only problem with it is that you could almost look at the vast majority of modern games. Well, not the vast majority, but a really decent number of modern games are reboots, remakes, refreshes of older games that the world would be very, very large. But I'd love to play the original GTA.
Mm,
I'd love to play that.
Yeah.
That I would love to go back and see how that holds up. It's a 2D game, obviously, and I played Chinatown Wars on the DS about 5 years ago, and that plays really well. It's just essentially the original engine running on a DS. So
playing Doom again and comparing it to Doom 2016 would be good fun as well, and we could do multiplayer online because there are like stuff like Set Doom or Sea Doom or that you can still play the original WOTS online.
I could never get enough Doom.
Mm. And I haven't played Doom for years, actually. So it'd be good fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm starting to come around to that. Yeah. Good shout, goal scoring Superstar Hero.
Yep.
Morpin, Aaron Morpin, suggesting, this is interesting, shareware or freeware games, thinking especially of 16-bit systems like the Amiga. So, for example, Top Hat Willy. Now, we've already mentioned id, who obviously made a lot of the shareware scene with their, particularly their early games.
Mm.
My only reservation here is my knowledge of 16-bit, or certainly on the Amiga, my knowledge of shareware games is limited. I'd have to really do some research to kind of scope out the better shareware and freeware games. Well, certainly an interesting, again, could make a really interesting full RA episode if we've not already done one.
Yeah, I'm sure we could get Matt in on this one, helping us to pick some games there, because he knows a lot about that on the Amiga scene.
Yeah, it might be a question of, well, of just trawling through some of the old Amiga formats. I always remember they used to do it where they call it PD, didn't they? Public domain. Yep, they used to do a public domain section in each issue and used to review the PD games. So yeah, could be interesting.
Mm, yeah. And we have Chris, 1983, who says memorable games you got for Christmas or birthdays. So I guess that would be our Christmas birthday memories.
Yes, that's quite interesting. Anything which allows us to indulge in some heavy nostalgia always tickles my taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be one. Although I suspect there'd be a lot of mentions of Championship Manager, which is not for everyone, you could say. So,
Fun fact, I don't like football. I don't follow football. I like playing football, but uh, I actually I actually like Championship Manager a lot better than, for example, say, Theme Hospital. So that'd be good fun.
I think you like most games more than you like Theme Hospital.
That's not true. It's not that bad.
No, not that good either, in your opinion. But anyway, okay, yeah. Thanks, Chris. 1983. It's certainly an interesting one. Yeah. I love the fact that we're not only are we getting Game Club theme ideas, but we're also getting episode ideas. That'd be another one, I think, which Dean and Steve, I'm sure, would enjoy, because they're really the nostalgia guys of the pod.
Yes.
I'm sure they'd love to spend a couple of hours chatting about memorable birthdays and Christmas games. Mm. Next up, Raushi. C64 games released in the last decade. Now, this one is timely because we've been talking amongst ourselves a lot about how we can give more focus to the absolutely incredible scenes that exist, particularly for, you know, the likes of the C64, the Speccy, the Amiga. There is such a vibrant scene of a game development scene now, probably as active as it has been since the mid-80s on the 8-bit platforms. So we do need to give some exposure to the more exposure to the likes of Sarah Jane Avery and Carlton Handley, and Juan Martinez and the like.
Yeah.
So this is a very timely suggestion, I think.
I mean, there's so many games here that I really want to play and I haven't found the time for, so it would be great fun. I mean, Run and Gun, for example, as you said, with Carlton Handley, lots and lots of good stuff. Some of the Soul Force, for example,
good. And we've made our peace with the fact that they're not retro games. We're okay with that. But
they're games on retro systems. So that's just fine.
It's good enough,
just
isn't fine. Yeah, I think so as well. Good.
So
very nice suggestion.
Yeah, thanks for that suggestion, Raushi. Ye old indie guy. He suggests Load Runner on all 8-bit formats, and he writes, and yes, I do include the BBC Micro on that list. So, so Load Runner, where you and I, the game has already been picked. Then you and I would be picking which version we'd like to look at. Then I guess.
Yeah. And of course, I'm a bit of a traditionalist with these things, and I'd be making massive noises for the Apple II version,
you would.
which I was only playing a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, any good then?
Which is it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Load Runner, isn't it? I mean, it's infinitely playable.
Yeah.
Although I think it's got a really, really good version on the NES as well.
Mm.
So, in fact, I think it's a classic, isn't it? So such a simple concept. That it's very difficult to do it wrong unless you port it to the DS and try and put loads of rubbish attached to it, like they normally do with those mid 2000 ports.
It was a 3D Load Runner as well in the early 2000s on the PC, I remember. Oh,
yeah, just dreadful. Mm. I've never played it, but I can completely guess what it would be like.
Yep.
Terrible. Yep. Yeah. So, Weirdo was naughty. He's the only one. Weirdo who picked two. So I'll mention both, and the first one is the one that I like, and that's Pinball Games. I still remember Devil Crush,
and I said Pinball,
which was absolutely amazing. Mm. I think it was the second Game Club game that I was on my second RA pod.
Mm.
And that month I still think is one of the best months we've had as a high score challenge. So we do need to revisit that genre. Mm. And I know, Mads, you were skeptical and probably maybe still are about pinball games.
No. I love Devil's Crush. It was one of the first real games, original games I bought for my PC Engine.
Yeah,
I had the EverDrive, of course, but that one I needed to have the actual card of.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I loved playing the pinball games on the Amiga as well. As we talked about half an hour ago, the dice games, the Pinball Fantasies, Pinball Dreams, and Pinball Illusions. I've spent far too much time on that back in the day. I'd love to play those again.
And there's loads of obscure, really good pinball games on the likes of the PC Engine and even the SNES and the Mega Drive as well. So there's so many really, really good games. I know... I think the Retro Gamescock guys, didn't they do a whole episode on pinball games? They did, one of the early ones.
Yeah, it could be.
So we could get some inspiration from there. I know they played some that they really... I played a little bit of the Metroid Prime pinball, which probably slightly falls into the modern era rather than retro, or just probably. When we played Metroid Prime for playthrough, I played some Metroid Prime pinball on the DS.
There are quite a few pinball games on the old Game Boy as well, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, just pinball, which is, you know, probably aged
for
now.
For me, the best video game pinballs are on the computers for that simple fact you can have two flippers that are the control keys on either side of the keyboard. Just feels right, like you're standing in front of the pinball table with your hands apart, pushing one button on either side. So that is emulated a bit by it being a button on either extreme of the keyboard, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. That could be a good one. His second one was boomer shooters. I'll confess, I have no idea what a boomer shooter is.
No, you no, me neither.
Okay, sorry, Vito. We don't know. But they sound good. They sound like things that are very loud and go bang, which is always fun when you're playing a shooter. But we'll stick with pinball games for Weirdo's choice.
Yep.
Right, Mads, this is the hard bit now.
Yes.
We need to pick a couple each. Do you want to go first? Do you want to pick one?
Sure. Let's see. Oh, you want to pick them off, right? I mean, pick stuff that we whittle down the list, or do you just want to pick some?
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, maybe the list is simply so long.
Remember what we did last time?
Yeah, the list is so long, and the suggestions are so good, it'll be hard to pick them off. Let's just pick our favorites this time, then.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, this is going
to
be tough.
Go on, then you go first. Give me more time to think.
Yeah, and to help you think, I'll just go through the entire list for my sake as well. It'll be Boulder Dash games, food brand tie-ins, games Donnie likes, games from the Ready Player One book, summer games, the last commercial releases on the different systems. That was both the theme of Cuthbert and Namco's. And the Sid Meier games, Shinobi games. Games that deliver different experiences on different platforms. Euro platformers, ID software games, 90s RTS games, bullet hell shoot 'em ups, handheld games, magnetic scrolls, adventure games. And retro games that had a modern day reboot. Shareware, freeware, or public domain games, memorable games from Christmas and birthdays, C64 games released in the last decade, Lode Runner on all 8-bit platforms, pinball games, and that is it. Mate, there are like 10 of these I'd like to choose.
It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard.
Wow. Okay, so I'm considering that we just did a month of like a really boring non-action type game, we need something a bit more actiony, right? So
I think so.
Whereas I do love real-time strategy and Sid Meier, and this is really my jam. I'm gonna skip those for the coming month.
Which is probably not the time, unfortunately.
And I don't know which games Donnie likes, so that'll be tough to choose. Wow, lots of good stuff here. I'm going to go with Roushi's pick, actually. C64 games released in the last decade, because, I mean, I'd love to have a look at some of those in more detail. Yeah. So, and maybe we can convince Sergey and Avery to release the RPG first. No, I'll pick Roushi's theme. C64 games released in the last decade.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, good choice. That is a good one. Very, very strong. That is a very strong selection. Right, okay, God. Yeah, this is really tricky. There are some great teams here. We're so grateful, guys, for the engagement on this and some of the suggestions. I mean, it's so difficult to whittle them down. Please, we are keeping these, but I think it's nice to kind of almost start again when we do go out. So, you know, if your theme doesn't get picked, feel free just to throw it back in there again when we go out. So bearing in mind what we just said about the playing a very exciting, wonderful sim game this month, but probably not wanting to follow with a similar game, I really like the idea of Shinobi games.
Yeah,
I think we could have a great month with an arcade game or one of the home conversions or home versions. I think Shinobi games is a very strong shout.
Yeah, good choice. Good choice. My turn, I guess. So I'm torn right now between the retro games that had a modern day reboot or Magnetic Scrolls adventure games, I think. Just going through the list again quickly here. Man, there are a lot of good themes. I still have that weird idea in my head now, but maybe text adventure games would actually be the wrong thing to choose this time again, because we've just been doing something that is more slow paced and not competitive in any way. So maybe we should have a look at something more action orientated. I love bullet hell shooters, but we've done that a few times. What else do we got that's more actiony? You know what? I've been thinking about that. I'm going to skip. I actually wanted to go with the retro games that had a modern day reboot, but I am going to do ID Software instead.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because you and I, we've talked about that as a theme many times before. Yeah. So, let's do that one.
Okay. Well, that might influence my choice then, because I was expecting you to go with the retro game reboot. Now, that is something that I must say, when this list was, when we first got the suggestion, I thought, I'm not sure, it seems a bit generic, but actually I do think we could make that work and turn it into a really good theme, probably playing both modern and retro games.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I'd love to. And there are some really, really good ones here. Have you played the reboot of the Tomb Raider series, for example?
No. Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant, mate.
Yeah. No. The Tomb Raider series actually is one that I would quite like to go back and actually play the older games as well.
So I've never played the original. I played it like half an hour at a friend's and then didn't really click with me, so I haven't gotten back to it.
No, I think the very original now probably has aged quite badly, I suspect. I mean, I know King Kong Groover tried it for his stream, and I think he did get to the end, but I think he found it very frustrating. Okay. So difficult to pick out, you know, the ledges that you can climb on as opposed to those that you can't. But Tomb Raider 2, I've not been back to it for a long time, but it was one of my favourite PS1 games. And it was a lot better. And I just wonder if that's aged any better. But yeah, interesting. So for me, I really like the post-peak commercial games for consoles and computers. I think that could be just a really interesting general discussion. And I would love to kind of go away and research some of those games to see which ones we could play. My only worry is at the moment, I don't have a one in mind, which I think, that one would be really good. So my worry is we wouldn't have that many to choose from. Euro platformers, I think just for being masochistic would be great fun.
Yeah.
This is tough, mate. Okay, I'm going to choose one. So I am going to go with... I'm going to go with late commercial releases.
So that was Cuthbert or Namco's?
So I'm going to put both of them together. Yep. I'm going to say, although, Cuthbert, forgive me if I've misinterpreted, if you did mean the very final commercial release, when you listen to this episode, if the vote is still live, then, you know, hit us up. If you know what they are or you've got a good idea, then let us know. And we'll certainly bear those in mind when it comes to choosing a game. If the theme wins, of course, because it might not.
Yep. So the themes that you guys will be voting on is, let's see, Shinobi Games. That was not Minor Willy who suggested that. And Namco's and Cuthbert with the post-peak commercial games for consoles or computers. Chris Silva's ID Software games. And finally, Roushi's C64 games released in the last decade.
Good, eh?
Yeah, that'll be a good list. And I promise you, listeners, that I won't be swayed by Chris this time. I will stand my ground. I'll be firm, and I will. I'll choose a good game.
That'll be deliberated next week.
It will be.
We all know Theme Hospital is one of the most beloved games of all time.
Yes.
But anyway, we're not talking about that at the moment. I'm quite excited for next month. I think whatever wins of those four, I think we're going to end up with a pretty good game to play.
Yeah, indeed. I'm already thinking about which games we should pick from these four. So.
Yeah, and if your theme didn't win, guys, or we didn't select your theme, you know, as we've said, there were some crackers, absolute crackers. It may well just be that the time wasn't right, or we have to pick a couple each. I'm certainly quite enjoying this way of picking the themes, and hopefully This will carry on. As I said, we've probably got, if we stick with tradition, we've probably got our next 2 or 3 months nailed down. But then this will be back in the autumn, this way of selecting the theme. So just get your thinking caps on.
Yep.
And anytime you want to send over a hashtag theme, then do it on Discord. You know, we'll just add it to the list of the next time we do this, we'll just stick it on the list.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So let's finish this off, mate. You have any shout outs you'd like to do?
No, rest of the guys, as I said, next week when we talk about Theme Hospital, I'll be talking about my time on the Retrospectives podcast. So just a shout out to those guys as well. And other than that, mate, I'm ready to get back to Theme Hospital. Mm.
Sounds good. So shout outs for me to, it's been a while since I've done any of these, so shout outs to all of the other retro gaming podcasts like Retro Game Squad and RGDS and Tenpence Arcade and all the other good guys. There are so many good UK and international based retro gaming podcasts, so do check out those shows as well. And apart from that, I think I'm all good to go. I won't be going back to Theme Hospital right now, but I promised you that I will take one final look. I think I've spent like 10, 12 hours so far, and I'm at level 7 or 8, festering on the vault or something like that.
Festering on the vault.
Yes.
Yeah, I've just finished that one.
Yeah. I will look into the Theme Radiator installer at some point. It'll be good.
If you do get the time... Mm. And you have your, I don't know whether, are you a subscriber to Game Pass
on
Xbox? Okay. I was going to say, then you could have actually checked out Two Point Hospital on the PC because it comes with Game Pass on the PC. Yeah. But then again, you probably won't like it. If you don't like games, like which is perfectly valid, as we'll talk about next week, then you probably just, it probably is Majesty's Designer Sims just aren't for you.
Yeah, could be. But let's see what the conclusion will be after we record next time, right?
Well, there you go, Mads. Bring your boxing gloves next week because my gloves are coming off. We will debate whether Theme Hospital was a good game, still is a good game. But until then, check us out on the vote. In that, we'll get that out on Twitter. Yes. It will go live just as soon as this episode goes live, which will hopefully be, it's Sunday the 16th of May. Hopefully by Tuesday the 18th of May, this will be live. You'll have a few days to vote. And then... at the end of the Theme Hospital episode, we will decide the game for June.
Yeah, sounds good.
And until then, mate, we will speak next week.
Speak to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, take care, mate. Bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures.